This is message number 7 in the series Walking with the Lord. I'm not going to be taking a lot of time to do review. I will mention several things. If I take too much time, I'll be re-preaching the previous 6 messages. So I don't want to do that. But the title of the message is Walking with the Lord, and the subtitle is Actually Learning Christ. Last week we dealt with Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. And remember, the whole series began walking with the Lord when we read from Genesis chapter 5 about Enoch walking with the Lord and how that Enoch pleased the Lord according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. We also read how God told Abram, I'm the Lord thy God, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And I pointed out it's impossible to really walk with the Lord until you learn to walk before the Lord, because the word before literally means in the presence of the Lord or in his face. And then the most absolute, fundamental, basic principle is walking by faith, because the scripture says without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we must walk by faith. That is basic. That is foundational. Then we looked in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7, where the Apostle Paul told us to walk worthy of the Lord with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we dealt with lowliness. We dealt with meekness. And I pointed out that meekness is certainly not weakness. It's not cowardice. It's not a denial of your rights. But I did point out that it is indeed discipline, strength under Christ, because we're yoked to Christ. And then we got to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. And let me just read those, and then we'll read through verse 21, where the apostle says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, or ethnos, or nations, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, Paul has told us clearly that we're to walk with the Lord and we're to walk by faith. And he tells us that we are to walk differently. We're not to be like the heathen. We're not to be like the pagans or the other nations. We are to be different. The question is, what makes us different? Well, true, first and foremost, we would have to respond, it is the grace of God in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, here's the question, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And here's another question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory or boastest if thou hast not received it? So everything that we have is by God's grace and God's mercy. It's God who made us to differ. We did not save ourselves. We did not call ourselves. We did not justify ourselves. It's God who made us to differ. So, obviously, it is God then who keeps us separate then from the other nations. We do not walk in the vanity of our minds. And I pointed out how the word vanity not only refers to uselessness and worthlessness, but it also refers to idolatry. And to perverseness as well. And then he goes on in verse 18, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. And I pointed out all of these things. And then he said, who being past feeling, that is, who are literally calloused. Nothing causes them any shame or remorse. They're past feeling, and they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to nakedness, to perverseness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, although it is the grace of God that indeed makes us to differ, we must also confess that the grace of God that leads us to salvation also leads us unto obedience. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, listen carefully, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. So the same God that saves us from our sins and makes us different by His grace is the same God that leads us unto obedience. Now, he says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. I must point out that obedience not only implies learning, it requires learning. How can you be obedient if you have not learned what to obey and whom you must obey? So, obedience then requires learning. The Greek word for disciple is the word mathetes, which literally means a learner, a pupil, and a disciple. Now, I want you to look carefully at verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Has the thought ever crossed your mind that you must learn Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about the necessity of learning Christ? I could ask it like this. Has the meaning of the word Christian ever entered or passed through your mind? Because the word Christian literally means Christ-like or a disciple or a follower of Christ. Now we're told in Acts 11 and verse 26 that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. But how can one be truly a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ if he is not Christ-like? All you have to do in order to ascertain as to whether or not we understand the truth of learning Christ is to look at the average Christian and the average church. If you look at the average professing Christian, you would have to admit that usually one cannot discern or tell the difference between the average professing Christian and an everyday unsaved worldling. Professing Christians usually look like, dress like, act like, even talk like the unsaved. We attend the same movies, watch the same TV shows, vote for the same unsaved candidates, and are easily and quickly duped when it comes to biblical and spiritual knowledge. In fact, the average professing Christian usually will accept anyone else who professes to be a Christian regardless of how they live and how they act. Now let me give you a quote from J.C. Ryle. J.C. Ryle says this, listen carefully, if you show me a man deliberately living an unholy and licentious life and yet boasting that his sins are forgiven, I answer, he is under a ruinous delusion and is not forgiven at all. I would not believe he is forgiven if an angel from heaven affirmed it, and I charge you not to believe it too. Pardon of sin and love of sin are like oil and water. They will never go together. All who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are also sanctified by the Spirit of Christ. So he points out very clearly that all who say that they are saved and yet they love sin and wallow in it are indeed under a very ruinous delusion. So I understand there are weak Christians, there are ignorant Christians, there are foolish Christians, there are even childish or baby Christians, and unhappily, most Christians usually remain in those states. They never make progress in their Christian lives. And so you have to ask, why? If they're truly saved, why do most never ever really make progress? And the answer is, because they've never really learned Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that there are some people who are saved and yet they're ignorant. All of us are ignorant to a certain extent. Some are more ignorant than others. But ignorance is curable. Stupidity is not. You know. So, I understand that. But although a person may be in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that does not mean that he's actually really learned Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it has always amazed me that how much time the average professing Christian can spend in church, how many sermons he can listen to, and never learn anything, and remain the same. In other words, hardly anything changes us because we've never really learned Christ. Now, let me show you. I want you to hold Ephesians 4, but look in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14, at a conversation that is carried on between Jesus Christ, Thomas, and Philip. I want you to watch. It's a very important question asked of Philip toward the end of the conversation. So look in John chapter 14, beginning there with verse 1. We'll read through verse 9. Our Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now look what our Lord says. "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me," note that, "if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Watch. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" But look at that question. Look what he said. "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip?" Philip lived with our Lord and walked with him for 3 years. He knew him personally and intimately and literally. And yet, he did not know him. Now, the question is this. If Philip could live with our Lord for 3 years and really not know him, how much greater is our lack of knowledge? For we have not lived with Christ as personally and as closely as did Philip. Now, when you go back to Ephesians 4, I want you to look at verses 20 and 21 again. Because these are the two verses that I'm going to be dealing with today. Watch this. Ephesians 4, verse 20. He tells these Ephesian believers, "But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus Christ." Now you have to remember that verses 20 and 21 follow verses 17 through 19, where the Apostle Paul is telling us to walk differently. We're not to walk as the other nations walk. We're not to walk as the heathen, as the pagans. No, we're to walk differently. He tells us how they walk, and then he makes this statement, "But you've not so learned Christ." In other words, Christ didn't teach that trash. He didn't teach you to live like they live. So Paul is making an astounding statement and revealing a tremendous truth when he said, "But you have not so learned Christ." And the truth is, we must actually learn Christ. And when someone is living as the heathen do, it's obvious that he has not learned Christ. Because Christ does not teach us to live ungodly lives. He does not teach us to live in vanity and in ignorance. He does not teach us to live in rebellion. He does not teach us to live in disobedience. If we know anything at all about Jesus Christ, we know that he is the holy, harmless, sinless Son of God. We also know that he was obedient to the Father in all things, and he was submissive in all things. John Calvin said it like this. He's making a statement on the difference between verses 20 and 21 and 17 through 19, and he says this. He, that is Paul, now draws a contrast of a Christian life so as to make it evident how utterly inconsistent it is with the character of a godly man to defile himself with the abominations of the Gentiles or the heathen. Because the Gentiles walk in darkness, therefore they do not distinguish between right and wrong. But those on whom the truth of God shines ought to live in a different manner. That those to whom the vanity of the senses is a rule of life should yield themselves up to base lust is not surprising. But the doctrine of Jesus Christ teaches us to renounce our natural dispositions. He whose life differs not from that of the unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ. For the knowledge of Christ cannot be separated from the mortification of the flesh. Wow. Now, with that in mind, I want you to hold Ephesians 4 and turn right over to the book of Titus chapter 2. And let me demonstrate, if you would please, the truth of what Calvin just stated. Look in Titus chapter 2 and let's begin reading there with verse 11. Look what he says. Titus 2, verse 11. Just a few pages over, Titus 2. Verse 11, look what he says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Note now, this is the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Watch. What does that grace that brings salvation teach us? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Note, redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. But notice, if you would, verse 12 tells us that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You must remember that the Apostle Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians, is also the author of the book of Philippians, and he said this in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. Listen carefully. That I might know him, talking about Jesus Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So according to the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 verses 10 and 11, to know Jesus Christ is not just simply to acknowledge him, but it is to be made conformable unto him in life and in death. Now let me ask you some questions that I hope will stimulate your mind. How well are we to learn Jesus Christ? What is to be the extent of our learning? I could also ask, what is the evidence of our learning, which I will show you next week. But I want you to see a verse. The Apostle John answers that question or those questions for us. I want you to hold Ephesians 4, but turn right over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and look, if you would, please, at verse 17. This is an astounding verse. 1 John 4 and verse 17. How well are we to learn Jesus Christ? What is to be the extent of our learning? Well, John says it like this, 1 John 4, verse 17. Watch. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What is going to give us boldness in the day of judgment? Because as he is, that is, as Jesus Christ really is, so are we in this world. Isn't that amazing? He said, if you want to be bold in judgment day, you must live as Christ in this world now, in time and history. as He is. Whatever Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world. Isn't that amazing? So, we have to consider this. How are we to be made like unto Him in this world? Let me show you another verse. Hold Ephesians 4, but go back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and look in verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. We're talking about learning Christ. Look at Romans 8, verse 29. In this passage, the Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now watch that carefully. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." The Greek word conformed is the word sumorphos, which literally means to be conformed unto, to be fashioned like unto, to having the same form. Literally, here's what it means. It means to be pressed into the same mold. Long time ago, but I do remember, Alice used to make butter. We have those old hand churns that you would hit that, I forget what you call it now, but you just keep battering it up and down and you'd make butter. And when it got thick enough, she would pour it into a butter mold and put it in the refrigerator. And guess what? When it sat in the refrigerator and hardened, she could take it and dump it in a dish, and it was perfectly made like that mold that it was put in. So that's what the Bible says. We are to be pressed into the same mold of Jesus Christ. As He is, so are we in this world. So let me put it to you like this. We're to be duplicates of Jesus Christ in this world, in obedience, in submission, in character, in holiness. And if we're like Him, we will be able to say with Him in John 8 and verse 29 to the Father, "For I do always those things that please Him." Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could say that to God the Father? "I do always those things that please Thee." Oh. Well, that's what He's talking about, being made like unto Christ. Now, I want you to look back to Ephesians 4. I'm pointing this out. It's obvious, verses 20 and 21. Let me read them again. Watch. Ephesians 4, verse 20 and 21. "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." So here's the truth that you must grasp today. Jesus Christ is the lesson. And Jesus Christ is the teacher. We are taught by Him. He is the lesson and He is the teacher. We must learn to look to Him not only as our lesson, but as our teacher. We are not learning about Christ. We're learning Christ. There's a big difference. You can learn about anybody. I can learn about Mohammed. I can learn about Gandhi. I can learn about Nixon. I can learn about anybody. But if I learn someone, I know them intimately. I know their heart's desire. I know their motives. I know everything about them. And I identify with them. So in order to learn Jesus Christ, we must take our seat. And we must take our position as learners, as students, as disciples, and followers. Now, I want you to look back in verse 20. He says, "But you've not so learned Christ." I told you earlier that the Greek word mathetes is translated as disciple in the Bible. Guess what? Monthano is the verb here. It's the same, it's the verb form. It literally means to be a pupil or a disciple. So the verb learn literally means to learn, to be apprised of, to increase one's knowledge, to be increased in knowledge, to hear, to be informed, to learn by use and by practice and be in the habit of and be accustomed to. And you're going to see the importance of that word, one word, next Sunday, Lord willing. It literally means that we are to be in the habit and accustomed to living as Jesus Christ lived. In fact, this one word occurs 25 times in the New Testament. And the emphasis of this word is not on just simply imparting knowledge, but it is awakening a thorough and complete commitment of oneself to Jesus Christ. So it means more than impartation of knowledge. Now, you remember the passage in Matthew 11, verse 29. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, he said, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, not learn about me. And the little Greek preposition means to learn from Christ, out of Christ, of Christ. Now, let me show you something else about a disciple. You might want to turn there. John 8, verses 30 and 32. Look at it. John 8, verses 30 and 32. Let's put this together. Because we're not just learning about Christ, we are learning Jesus Christ. He is the lesson. He is the teacher. Look at what he says. John 8, verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, note what he said. If you continue in my word. By the way, the proof that you've ever savingly believed is that you continue to believe. The proof that you've ever savingly repented is that you continue in repentance. The proof that you've ever savingly received the Word of God is that you continue in the Word of God. So he said, listen carefully, in John 8 and verse 32, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. What does that little word indeed mean? It means absolutely, most certainly, surely, truthfully, in reality, indeed. What is it that makes the mark of a true disciple? It's someone who continues in the truth of Jesus Christ. He has learned Christ. He has learned from Christ, out of Christ, and in Christ. And so he says, you're truly my disciple. So a real, genuine disciple learns and holds on to the truth and continues in the truth. He does not give it up. I've heard people say, well, oh, so-and-so used to be a Christian, but he's no longer a Christian. Really? You know what the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 19? 1 John 2, verse 19? They went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. The proof that you are a real, genuine disciple is that you continue in the faith and you continue in what Jesus Christ has taught you. You understand Proverbs 23 and verse 23 when the Word of God says, buy the truth and sell it not. So the full sense of learning in being a disciple is the receiving of Christ and His work and the implications of Jesus Christ and his work in every area and every sphere of life. Because we are forever changed by him. We learn Jesus Christ. We learn him. Now, look in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul, in an effort here to excite their attention and earnestness even more, not only tells the Ephesians that they have not only heard Christ, they have been taught by him. Wow. Let me ask you a question. And I don't have time to really develop this today. But have you heard Jesus Christ? You say, how in the world could I hear Christ? Well, that's another sermon in itself. But let me show you something. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Yes, we hear Christ in and through his word. But look what he says, John 10, and let's begin reading there verse 23. John 10, verse 23. Watch carefully. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Wow. What did he say? You believe not because you're not of my sheep? Watch verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice if you, my sheep hear my voice. So have you heard the voice of the Lord? You say, I've never heard anyone speak from heaven. No. But you've heard him through his word in your heart, in your mind, in your life. You've heard him through the preaching and teaching of your word. Every time I read this passage, I think, years and years ago, I was driving through Atlanta trying to get home. I don't know where in the world I was coming from, Ohio, Indiana, somewhere, late at night. Alice wasn't with me because all the children were small. And I was just trying to stay awake. And I had the radio on. It was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I never will forget, I finally found some preaching. And it was an old black preacher. And I thought, he'll keep me awake. I'm going to listen to him. And he's preaching from John chapter 10. And he was reading this verse in verse 27-28. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I never will forget. And that old gruff voice of that black preacher, he said, like this. Now, if you had Christ Jesus, he said, you in the Father's hand. He said, you in the Son's hand, and the Son's in the Father's hand. And he said, no man can pluck them out of his hand. He said, now, if you're there, he said, God the Father won't pluck you out of his hand. God the Son won't pluck you out of his hand. God the Spirit won't pluck you out of his hand. And come to think of it, them's only three that can do any plucking anyhow. I thought, that's true. That's very, very true. It was worth it just to hear him say that. And that's true. But notice he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So what does our Lord teach us? Number one, he tells us our Lord's sheep hear his voice. Number two, he knows his sheep. And number three, his sheep follow him. And then when you look at John chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says this, to him the porter openeth, talking about Christ, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So he calls you. So the question is, have you heard Christ? Do you follow him? Are you listening? Have you been taught by him? He only teaches truth. Obviously, if you're holding error and heresy and falsehood, you have not been taught by Jesus Christ. He said, if so be that you have heard him. The Greek word is akouo. It means more than simple hearing or hearkening. It means to give audience to attend, and to consider what is being said. It also means to give ear to a teacher, to hear and perceive by the ear that which is being announced in one's presence. So it has the implication then of comprehension and understanding. So it's not just that you hear with your ear, but you understand and you comprehend what is being said and what is being taught. Do you realize that even in the Old Testament, the mark of a true believer was being taught by God and receiving his words? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 33. As you turn there, I want to quote Job 36 and verse 22. For in that passage, the word of God says, behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? So God is the ultimate teacher. I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And let's begin reading there with verse 1. This may surprise you. I preached on this passage many, many years back. But it's a tremendous passage. And it reveals some great truths. Deuteronomy 33 verse 1. The Bible says this, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Note, for them. Yea, he loved the people. Watch. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one of them shall receive of thy words. Isn't that amazing? Every one of them shall receive of thy words. So God's saints hear his words. He teaches them. Now, get ready. Look in your Bibles to John chapter 6 and verse 45. Look what our Lord said. John 6 verse 45. I can quote it, but I want you to see it. John 6, look in verse 45. Here it is. John 6 verse 45. In fact, let's read verse 44 and verse 45 so you can see that in the context. Our Lord makes a tremendous statement. In John 6 and verse 44, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Remember, can is the term of ability. No man has the ability to come to Christ apart from the power of God. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, how does God draw? And by the way, the word is draw, not drag. How does God draw? We look in verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Wow. Now, he said, our Lord said, it's written in the prophets. Well, where is it written in the prophets? Well, let's see. Let's go back in our Bibles to Isaiah 54 and let's look at verse 13. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Because our Lord is quoting Isaiah 54. Look, if you would please, in verse 13. Here he says it like this. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Now turn right over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 and look, if you would please, at verse 34. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. Here it is. This is where our Lord is quoting from. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. What did he say? They shall all be taught of the Lord. That is exactly right. When God draws us, he opens our understanding. He teaches us. He illuminates us. He enlightens us. He releases our will from the bondage of sin. He elevates our affections that we may desire him. And he gives us grace and the ability to come to him. Now, when we're saved, God still continues to teach his people. If you would look in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, watch verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, watch verse 9. Here the Apostle Paul says this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Watch. But it's touching brotherly love. You need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. There are certain things that God just teaches us. He puts it upon our heart. Now, I want you to turn, since you're in 1 Thessalonians, turn right over, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy. And look in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look, if you would, at verses 14 and 15. Look what Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. He tells Timothy, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Watch, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Continue in the things that thou hast learned. What did our Lord say? If you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples. Now, let me show you a contrast. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. We'll read verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16. Notice verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, verse 17. Paul says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Note, if you would, he says, you mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? To the doctrine which you have learned, that you've been taught. So God's people do learn some things. Now, let me show you. We learn that the truth is in Jesus Christ. We learn that Jesus Christ is the truth. We learn that his word is truth. We learn that anything and everything that is contrary to Jesus Christ or his word is untrue and an antichrist. Let me show you. Look in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Turn right on over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, notice if you would please verse 22. 1 John 2, verse 22. Look at this. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So if you tell me that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, he's not the anointed one, he's not the sent one of God, God says you're a liar. And if you try to deny the Father and the Son are one, God says you're a liar. It's just that simple. Look in chapter 4 and verse 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you can discern. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Look in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 John 1 and verse 7. 2 John 1 verse 7. John again writes, "For many deceivers are entered in the world, and who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So what does he say? If you've learned that Jesus Christ is truth, then you know anything that's contrary to Christ is not true. And anything contrary to Jesus Christ is antichrist. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, without turning there, Paul said that he withstood those evil men that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Do you understand that Jesus Christ is truth and Jesus Christ is the gospel? Without Jesus Christ, there is no gospel, and without the gospel, there is no salvation. So a denial of the gospel is a denial of Jesus Christ, and a denial of Jesus Christ is a denial of salvation. So how does God teach us? He said, everyone that has been taught of God comes to me. How does God teach us? And the answer is, he teaches us through his word and by his spirit as the word of God is expounded, explained, and applied. Isn't that interesting? And if you read through the scriptures, you will find that our God opens our hearts exactly the way he opened the heart of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. So the Lord opened her heart with the result that she attended to the things which were spoken by Paul. You'll find that the Lord opens our understandings exactly the way he opened the understanding of those two men on the Emmaus Road when they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke unto us by the wayside?" And how later on in Luke chapter 24, talking about his disciples, "So then opened he their understandings that they might understand the word of God." So we also find God enlightens us. For in Psalm 36 and verse 9, he says, "For with thee is the fountain of light, and in thy light we shall see light." It's only in God that we see true light. And it's only in God that he gives us pastor teachers who will feed us according to knowledge and understanding. That's what he said in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." So when we learn Christ, let me show you one last passage. I want you to turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. When we learn Jesus Christ, we learn to be holy. We learn to be obedient. We learn to think. May I remind you that you will find the word muse, M-U-S-E, in the Bible. To muse means to think, to meditate, to contemplate. You put an A on it and it negates it. A muse means not to think. Why do you think TV is called amusement? Why do you think there are amusement parks? All entertainment is amusement. You don't have to think. God teaches us to think. Watch. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning there in verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." What does that mean? It means you better get ready to think and study and meditate. "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Watch. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy. So God teaches us to think. He teaches us to be obedient. He teaches us not to fashion our lives according to our former ignorance, which we'll see next week. He teaches us that we're to be holy as He is holy. Now, let me make some applications. I want you to consider this fact. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. We must learn Christ. You must consider the fact that Scripture teaches that all of His sheep, all of His people shall be taught of the Lord. When you consider that many professing Christians are not being taught, and they are not progressing in the Christian profession, and are not becoming more and more holy and more submissive and godly, you must really wonder whether or not they're sheep. He does teach His own. And the evidence that He teaches His own is they follow Him. What did He tell the Pharisees in John 10 and verse 26? He said, but you believe not, because you're not My sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. The sheep will always follow the shepherd. And if you're not following the shepherd, you may not be a sheep. One may object and offer for a defense, but I'm really a sheep. I'm just not a good student, and I'm just not an obedient child. Really? Really? You know, Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us if we are not obedient, if we are really His child, we're going to be chastened. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom he chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, where if all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So if you can sin and get away with it and never be whipped and never be chastened, you don't belong to God. So when someone comes along and says, well, I'm saved, I'm just not a good student, I'm just not very obedient, really? If you're really His sheep, God's going to be whipping the living daylights out of you for your laziness and your slothfulness and your worldliness and your lack of study and obedience. And here's my question. If you want to tell me that you're really a sheep and you're disobedient, I want you to explain to me 1 John 2:4. For there the Scripture says, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wrestle with that one for a while. My sheep hear My voice. If we're really His sheep, if we're really His elect, if we're really His children, we hear Him. We hear Him. And we will hear Him either in instruction or discipline. But we'll hear Him. And Hebrews 12 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, His chastening leaves a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So when God chastens us, it works. It always works. So here's my question. How do we know whether or not we're learning Christ? And what is the practical application of learning Christ? How do we actually apply it in our lives? Well, the answer is to be here next Sunday at the same time on the same channel. And I'll show it to you from the Scripture. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and grace and mercy. And help us, Father, to learn Jesus Christ. He's the lesson. He's the teacher. We don't need to know about him. We need to know him and receive of him. Lord, teach us. Build us up in the most holy faith. And make us godly and obedient. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.